Chapter 21, The Reunion. After this narrow escape, the crew sailed along the coast for 3 days and nights before seeing the first signs of civilization. High up on a cliff, overlooking a larger lagoon, was a small church with a big white cross in its front yard. As the ship neared, the men could see a port with Western-style buildings around the waterfront. Half hidden in the trees going up the slope to the church were several larger homes and many small native huts. During the trip down the coast, Buck had called all the crew to a meeting on deck. They discussed what to say about the missing captain and first mate. The crew members all agreed that their story would be that the storm had swept the captain and first mate overboard, while both men fought courageously to save the ship. None of the crew wanted to hang for murder or mutiny. While searching the captain's cabin, Buck found Bishop's logbook. The last entry read,
"One day out of China, big storm directly in our path, changing course to the south, going to try to outrun the storm. God help us. Captain Donald Bishop."
This tied in nicely with their lie. The ship being lost and blown off course this far made the crew's story believable. In a large chest at the foot of Bishop's bed, Buck also found the personal property of Bishop's involuntary crew, including all of Buck's money. He returned these stolen items to the rightful owners. In the top drawer of Bishop's desk, Buck found a locked metal strong box which held the ship's operating money. After beating it open, he divided its contents amongst the crew as pay, except for the three rich brothers. Buck was sure a few dollars would not break them. He did not keep any of the ship's money for himself. Just having his own back was enough. By the time the ship had anchored in the small harbor, the whole town had lined the waterfront docks to greet the new arrivals. To Buck's surprise, two of the welcoming committee were the same missionaries that had survived the shipwreck with him several years before, Brother Curtis and Brother Joseph. The church on the hill was apparently the result of their hard work and preaching. They had converted many of these local heathens to Christians. Neither of the men recognized Buck until he told them his name. Brother Curtis and Brother Joseph deemed it a true miracle that their paths had crossed again half a world away. Buck considered the event rather strange, but did not classify it a miracle, just chance. Brother Joseph asked about the Widow Warner and her daughter. Buck explained that he had escorted them safely back to New York before returning to Texas. He never went into any details as to how he wound up becoming a sailor. This might give rise to too many questions as to the captain's disappearance. As far as anyone needed to know, he and the rest of the crew were all volunteer seamen. When Buck inquired if many ships stopped at this port, Brother Curtis told him that a mail packet ship was due in about a week. Without a navigator, Bishop's ship was useless to Buck and the others. None of the crew was concerned about returning it to the owner in San Francisco. If he wanted it, he could send another ship with extra crew members to pick up his abandoned vessel. These men felt they owed the owner no loyalty. Buck had one of the brothers write a letter to the ship's owner giving the exact location of his property. Buck also sent the captain's logbook along with the letter. Buck had no desire to hang for being a pirate. All three brothers assured him that when they made their way back to Boston, their father's attorney would also be in contact with its owner. Their father, a wealthy man, would make someone pay dear for their son's mistreatment. These were strong words from three lost souls on the other side of the world. Daddy's wealth was a long way from here. When they were captured by the first mate, all three brothers had spent what pocket money they had with them that night on fine wine and dance hall girls. Because of this drunken partying, brothers were now a little short on cash. Having recovered his property from the captain's cabin, Buck had lost only time. He had more than enough money for his passage back to San Francisco, a fact that had not escaped the brothers' attention. Therefore, they offered Buck a business proposition. If he helped them get safely back to Boston, the brothers would fully reimburse him the cost of their tickets and expenses, in addition to paying him a good wage for his time. Buck nearly said no to the trip back across country, but he needed to make up for the cost of his passage some way. This would be a lot easier than working another cattle drive, so he agreed. The eldest brother insisted on drawing up a contract for the four of them to sign. Afterwards, they divided Buck's money equally. Each was to be responsible for keeping their part safe. They found accommodations at the town's only tavern. The rooms were small and dirty, but it beat sleeping on the beach. They spent the next week recovering from their ordeal at sea. The brothers tried to make up for the time they had lost by drinking. Buck, however, spent most of his free time eating everything he could get his hands on. He drank his fair share of rum as well. He had rather gotten used to its taste while on the ship, but this time he consumed it just for pleasure, not to kill the pain of a day's hard labor. The brothers and Buck spent hours exchanging life stories, something they had neither the time nor the strength to do on the ship. Their life of luxury seemed as strange to Buck as his life as a cowboy did to them. The brother, whose life Buck had saved in the rigging, thanked him repeatedly for his heroics. The others agreed that had Buck not attacked the captain, none of them would have likely survived the return trip. Buck felt uncomfortable accepting the praise. He had done what he had to do at the moment. That's not being a hero, just an ordinary man. Still, the brothers felt strongly that he was their savior. If this made them happy, he would accept their compliments, even though he did not think he deserved them. In the evenings, Buck walked along the beach by himself to think. The sand was soft under his bare feet, a welcome relief from the ship's hard planking. Coconut palms stood guard at the jungle's edge. These towering giants, having been washed ashore on the incoming tides, must have come from some distant island. The cool sea breeze was relaxing as it flowed gently over his skin. The moon rising over the now calm sea dropped little bits of light into the water. It looked as if the ocean had millions of pieces of broken glass floating on its surface. This calm water gave no indication of the terrible monster that it could become. In his solitude, Buck thought about his parents and Hank. The memory of the widow's warm body often flooded his brain with erotic thoughts. In his mind's eye, he could envision her bedding all the young men in New York. He was envious of all her possible lovers. Not jealous, mind you, just envious. Having once enjoyed the comfort of a woman's body made going back to a life of celibacy all but impossible for a young hot-blooded male.